Parshas Miketz. Yosef had spent 12 long and painful years in prison. Yosef did not know if he would ever be a free man again. But Hashem said, "You will not be held in prison even one moment longer than I have decided. The years you have been in prison is to serve as a forgiveness for your wrongdoings. Since you spoke Lashon Hara against your 10 brothers, you were therefore in prison first for 10 years. Then you were in prison for another 2 years, which was a punishment for your having said to the chief butler, 'Remember me and bring me out of this prison.'" Yes, Kinderlach, Yosef should not have depended and put his trust in the chief butler, but rather only in Hashem, that Hashem will take him out in the right time. And just for saying the words, "Remember me and bring me out of this prison," Yosef had to stay there for 2 more years. For 2 years straight, Pare had strange dreams every single night. But when Pare would wake up in the morning, he could just not remember what the dreams were. When the time came for Yosef to be freed, Pare woke up in the morning and clearly remembered his dream. The night of Pare's dream was the night of Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem decides what's going to happen to the entire world, which land is going to have a lot of food, and which land is going to have a hunger. It was this night when Pare had his dream. Pare dreamt that he was standing right at the edge of the river, of the Nilus River, and Pare saw 7 fat cows climb out of the river and walk around and graze in the fields. After this, Pare saw another 7 cows coming out of the river, thinner and very ugly looking. Pare had never in his life seen such ugly looking cows as these. Now the 7 thin cows ate up and swallowed up the 7 fat ones, but remained just as skinny and thin as they were before. Pare awoke. Then he fell asleep again and had a second dream, which was very much like the first one. In this second dream, Pare saw 7 fat branches of wheat growing out of one stalk and were swallowed up by 7 thin ones. Yes, Kinderlach, this is the second dream that Pare had. Now, after Pare had these 2 dreams, Pare then had another dream in which he saw the explanation of the first 2 dreams, that he should understand what is the meaning of the 2 strange dreams. But Kinderlach, when Pare woke up, all he was able to remember were the dreams, but not their explanation. Pare woke up in a very bad mood because he couldn't remember the meaning of the dreams. He called his magicians and asked them to explain what the 2 dreams mean. They all said to him, "Your Majesty, it is nothing as simple as the explanation of your dream."
"What is it?"
First magician said his explanation. "The 7 fat cows are to tell you that you will have 7 daughters who will be born to you. And the 7 thin cows that swallowed them up means that your seven daughters will die while you're still alive. Pare was not satisfied with this explanation. Another magician stepped forward and said,
Your Majesty,
the seven good and fat branches that came out of the stalk of wheat means as following. You will conquer and win over seven kingdoms. And the swallowing up of the seven thin branches of wheat show you that the seven kingdoms will go against you. But Kindalach, Pare was still not satisfied with this explanation either. Pare did have the explanation given to him in his dreams, but he just could not remember what it was. But one thing for sure, he knew that the magician's explanations were not the right ones. And so Pare announced,
Let it be known in all of Egypt that anyone who is able to explain dreams must come before me. For if you do not come to me, you will be put to death. But whoever tells me the correct explanation of my dreams will be richly rewarded.
And so Kindalach, hundreds of Egyptian astrologers and magicians streamed to the palace, giving their explanation to the king. They all gave different explanations, but Pare did not accept any of their explanations. Why was no one able to think of the true explanation? Well, Kindalach, it was a miracle from Hashem that all the astrologers and all the magicians, their minds became confused, all in order that Yosef should be the one to give the right explanation and then become the ruler in Mitzrayim. It was also for this reason, Kindalach, that Hashem made that Yosef should be called last after everyone else gave their explanation. Because if Yosef would give his explanation to Pare's dream at the beginning, you know what the magicians would later say?
If Pare would have given us a chance, we would have said the exact same thing as Yosef.
That's why Hashem made that first all the magicians should try to give their explanations, and only after they all have given their explanations, which Pare did not accept, now it's time to hear what Yosef has to say. Yes, finally Hashem caused that the chief butler should remember Yosef. But still, the chief butler was a big Rasha, and he didn't really care to tell Pare even when he remembered Yosef. He did not want to let Pare know that Yosef is able to explain dreams. But later, the chief butler noticed that Pare was very, very sad. Pare was getting more and more nervous, that the chief butler was worried,
who knows what's going to happen to Pare? If this Pare dies, a new king will come instead of him. I will not be sure that I will still be the chief butler. It would therefore be better for me that I should tell him about Yosef in order that Pare should finally get the explanation to his dream, and Pare will calm down and have peace of mind.
The chief butler then sent a message to Pare. In the message, the chief butler said like this,
I sinned against two people. One is a man named Yosef, to whom I owe thanks for something good he did to me. Yet, when he asked me to mention his name to you, I did not do so. The other one who I sinned against is you, Pare. I did not let you know about someone who knows how to explain dreams.
The chief butler went on to explain to Parai what he meant.
Once it happened that Parai became very angry at me, the chief butler, and also at the chief baker, and placed both of us in jail. One night, each of us had a dream, and neither of us understood its meaning. But there was a man in prison with us who explained each one's dream correctly. Everything happened exactly as this man had said. Now you want to know who this man is? Well, I'll tell you who he is.
And here, Kindalach, the chief butler begins telling Parai that this was Yosef.
But
Kindalach, the way he told it to Parai was in a very, very unpleasant way. He said it in a way to embarrass Yosef, to put Yosef to shame, and to make sure that Yosef will not get anything good out of this. The first thing he said, that Yosef is young. By saying this, he hoped that Parai wouldn't even be able to make him become any important person in his palace. Then he said to Parai that this man was a very foolish man, making sure that Parai should not think that Yosef is too smart. And then he says Yosef is a slave. And Parai knows that the law is that only a free man may become a king, but never a slave. And then he finished by saying, and this man comes from the disgusting family of the Hebrews, who eat the sheep, which we worship as our Getchke, and whom we will therefore not even allow to have at our tables. And of course not to appoint him to become a very important person in the palace. Whatever Yosef said about our dreams came true. When the king heard this, the king's messenger was rushed to the prison where Yosef was held. And Yosef was let known that he must come and appear before Parai immediately. The chief butler gave Yosef a haircut. Yes, Yosef has not taken a haircut since he left his father's house. It was since then that Yosef acted like a Nazir, which means he does not drink any wine and lets his hair grow. But now, in honor of the king, Yosef took a haircut and changed his clothes. Yosef entered the palace and was amazed at the Egyptian king's splendor and the luxury in which the king lived. Parai's crown glittered with jewels, and his throne was built up with gold and silver and pearls, with 70 steps leading up to the top. The Egyptian law was like this. If a very important person had to speak to the king, he was allowed to climb 31 steps up towards the throne of the king, and the king would step down to the 36th step to meet with him. That means they would be standing 5 steps apart of each other. Someone who was just a plain man was allowed to walk up only 3 steps from the bottom of the throne and had to remain standing on the 3rd step. But, Kindalach, the very smart men of Mitzrayim, who could speak 70 languages, had permission to climb up all the way to the top of the 70 steps and stand right next to the throne itself. When Yosef came from the prison, Yosef stepped up only 3 steps, just as any plain person. The king said to him,
I had a dream, and no one knows how to explain it. I heard that you know very well how to explain dreams.
But how can you be sure that everyone else's explanation was wrong? Asked Yosef.
I also saw in my dream the explanation of my dreams, and therefore no one can tell me different than the real true explanation.
Yosef said, "The explanation is not in my hands. Hashem shall give Pare a good answer."
Yes, Kindalach, even though Yosef was the one who was giving the answers, but Yosef knew that whatever good things a person can do, it's only because Hashem gives them the koyach, the ability to do it. If Yosef can explain a dream, it's only because Hashem gives him the ability to explain it right. And so Pare began to tell Yosef what was his dream.
"In my dream, I stood at the edge of the river and saw 7 cows coming out of the river."
"That wasn't your dream," said Yosef. "You saw 7 fat and good-looking cows."
"You are right. I wanted to test you and see if you really knew the dream."
Pare continued to tell him about the dream, but again Pare changed certain parts of the dream, and Yosef kept on correcting him, telling him how the dream really was.
"How do you know? Did you stand behind me while I dreamt?"
Well, Kindalach, Yosef knew both the dream and its explanation through Ruach HaKodesh. Yosef explained to Pare, "Hashem is giving Pare a message. The 7 fat cows and the 7 good branches of wheat are both a sign for the same thing, that is, that Hashem will bring 7 years of plenty of food upon Mitzrayim. And the 7 thin cows and the 7 thin branches of wheat both have the same explanation, and that is, that after the 7 good years full of food, there will come another 7 years of hunger. And that what you saw in your dream, that the thin cows swallowed the fat cows, and the thin branches of wheat swallowed up the fat ones, this is a sign that the hunger will come suddenly. And once it's here, everyone will forget about the good years of plenty. And that's the reason why Hashem gave you 2 dreams of the same sign, to tell you that Hashem is going to make his decree very, very soon." After Yosef explained the dream, Yosef finished by saying, "I will advise you, O king, how to save yourself from the years of hunger. You should choose a wise and understanding man to take charge of Mitzrayim. Officers should be appointed to collect a lot of the grain, the wheat that's growing during the 7 good years. They should take 1/5 of all of the wheat that's growing during the 7 good years and put it away in Pare's warehouses, where the food can be kept for a long time. That is, for all the 7 years of hunger, so that the land of Mitzrayim will not be destroyed from hunger." Pare was very happy with this explanation. Pare called out and said, "You are right!" And Pare decided to appoint Yosef to be in charge of this job. That is, to put away all the grain, all the wheat, for the years of hunger. Yes, Kindalach, this teaches us a lesson, how it is in Hashem's hands, and only in Hashem's hands, what will happen to a person. A person can be even in a dungeon, in a prison, as a slave. And, with Hashem's will, he is overnight changed into a king. Just as it had happened with Yosef, that now he became the ruler in Mitzrayim. But do you think in the Lach that everyone in Mitzrayim was happy that Yosef became the ruler? Pari was, but all the ministers and nobles protested. Shall a slave who was sold for 20 silver pieces and just came out of the dungeon should become the ruler over all of us? Pari answered his ministers, this man does not show me any signs of being a slave. He seems like a free man, the son of a great and noble people. Just look at him. Don't you see his grace, his beauty? What a fine man he seems to be. He fits his job very well to be a ruler. But Kindalach, the ministers kept on complaining, and they said to Pari that Yosef cannot become the ruler in Mitzrayim. Pari said to them, why not? And they said to Pari, you know that the law in Mitzrayim is that an Egyptian king or someone who is second to the king must know all 70 languages, and Yosef knows only one language, that is Hebrew. Who says so? Asked Pari. I'll test him tomorrow. During that night, Yosef had a very special dream. Hashem's Malach came to Yosef and told him, I will teach you 70 languages. Yosef studied them, but he was not able to remember them. Hashem then said to Yosef, now, Yosef, I'm going to pay you back a reward for the Kiddush Hashem which you did by not listening to Potiphar's wife. I'm going to add a letter of my name to your name. You will now have the name of Yehosef with a hey, so that you will be able to remember. As soon as Yosef got this name, Yehosef, suddenly it was a miracle. Yosef was able to remember whatever the Malach had taught him. The next morning, Pari called Yosef in order to test him. The king called out to Yosef in the Egyptian language, and Yosef answered him in the same language. Pari allowed him to climb up one step on the throne. Then Pari called him in Aramaic, and Yosef answered in the same language. He climbed up yet another step. Pari spoke to him in Phoenician language, and Yosef answered in that language too, taking another step up. Yes, Pari kept on calling to Yosef in all 70 languages, and Yosef answered until he stood on the top right before Pari's throne. Now it was Yosef's turn. Yosef turned to Pari and started to speak to him in Hebrew, but Pari could not answer. Pari was embarrassed. Teach me Hebrew, Yosef. Yosef began to teach Pari Hebrew, but Pari was not able to understand it. He was just not able to catch on to the language. The language of Hebrew is Lashon HaKodesh, a holy language, and therefore it could not enter into the unclean mind of Pari. Now, Pari was afraid that the Mitzrayim may find out that he does not know one language, and they might send him away from the throne since he is missing one language. So Pari said to Yosef, swear to me that you will never tell anyone that you know one language more than I do. And Yosef promised. Now Pari turned to the ministers and said, you see,
If Yosef would have been a slave, how could he have known 70 languages?
When the ministers saw this, they began to sing praises to Yosef. And Pari himself called out and said,
Even if we had searched the world from one end to the other, we would not have found a man as wise as Yosef, upon whom the Spirit of God rests.
Turning to Yosef, Pari said,
There is no one as understanding and wise as you. You shall be appointed over my house, and all the needs of the people shall be given by you. But, even though I have made you the ruler of Mitzrayim, you must still honor and respect me as king over you.
Pare slipped his ring off his finger and gave it to Yosef as a sign that Yosef became the second to the king. He dressed Yosef in fine linen and decorated him with a golden necklace. Yosef was seated in a special chariot right next to the king's and led through the capital of Mitzrayim with a great victory. A march of 1,000 drummers and 1,000 trumpet blowers marched behind Yosef's chariot together with 5,000 men who juggled with swords. On both sides of Yosef, there were marching 20,000 of the king's noblemen. 20 men ran in front of Yosef and called out,
Do you see the man who the king has chosen to be the second to the king? Everyone kneel down before him. He will be in charge of the country. Whoever will not obey him or bow before him must die.
Hashem said, Yosef, all of this honor that you are being given now is a reward for midah keneged midah, a measure for a measure, for the great things that you have done. Since you are able to control your Yetzirah and not do an Avera by Potiphar's wife, that's why now you became the ruler. Also, since you did not want to listen to her, now all the Mitzrim will listen to you. And since you left your coat in her hand, therefore you are now honored with royal garments. You did not bend your neck to sin, and therefore your neck is now decorated with a golden necklace. Since you did not walk in a sinful way, therefore you now ride in a royal carriage. Because your thoughts remained pure, therefore now you are named the wise man. All the Mitzrayim fell on their knees and called out,
Yichi HaMelech and Yichi Mishneh LaMelech.
Long live the king and long live Yosef, who is second to the king. Pari then gave Yosef the name Tzafnas Paneach. Tzafnas means the hidden things. Paneach means the one who tells the secrets and explains the meaning of the hidden things. All the Egyptian girls and women, including those who came from very important families, stood on the walls and rooftops and threw their jewelry into the carriage of the king's new helper, Yosef, hoping that Yosef would look at them. But Yosef HaTzadik would not even look at any of them. In fact, Yosef was not even paying attention whatsoever to all the excitement and cheering of the crowd. Instead, Yosef lifted his eyes towards the heavens and davened, How great are you, Hashem! Mekimi me'afar do, me'ashpais yarim evyoin, who raises the poor from the dust and the needy from the dunghill. Happy is the man who trusts in you. Pare gave Yosef 100 slaves to serve under his command, and sent workers to build him a marvelous palace. The building of this palace took 3 years. They also built Yosef a throne of gold, silver, and jewels, on which was engraved a picture of the land of Mitzrayim and the Nile, that is, the Nilus River. Now the people in Mitzrayim were complaining, "A slave hath become a ruler over us." In order to calm them down, Pare gave Yosef Potiphar's daughter Asnas for a wife. Now Kinelach, I want you to know that Asnas was not really the daughter of Potiphar. She was only adopted by him. He took care of her since she was a very little baby. Where did Asnas come from, and who were her real parents? Well, Kindalach, Asnas was Dinah's daughter from Shechem. That's right, Yosef's sister was Dinah. And as you remember, she was kidnapped by Shechem, who forced to marry her. And later, Dinah gave birth to this little baby, Asnas. Later, she was sent out of Yaakov's house. Yaakov had tied a note around her neck, on which it said who her parents were. The words that were written on this note were that whoever marries this girl is marrying one of Yaakov's family. A malach from Hashem carried Asnas to Mitzrayim, and she was brought to Potiphar's house, and there she was taken care of. After Asnas was married to Yosef, Asnas gave birth to 2 sons. This was before the years of hunger. Yosef named the older son Menashe, and the younger son Ephraim. For 7 years, the Mitzrayim enjoyed a lot of food. No matter how much food they took from the storehouses, the houses never became empty from food. Everyone's house was overflowing with food. During these years, Yosef collected 1/5 of all the food of Mitzrayim and put it away for the years of hunger. At the end of the 7 fruitful years, the hunger suddenly struck. While people were still sitting and enjoying their meals, the bread on their tables suddenly became moldy, and there was no more food that can be eaten. When the Mitzrayim saw this, they said, "Things happened just as Yosef said. Let's go to Yosef to get some food." They came to Yosef asking for some food. Yosef answered them, "I will give you food on one condition. First, give up your getchkes and say, 'Blessed be Hashem, who gives food for everyone.'" "We will not listen to you," they cried out. When they came again to Yosef, Yosef said, "I will not give you bread unless you first make a bris for yourself." The Mitzrayim came to Pare to complain.
"Go to Yosef," Pare told them.
"We just came from him, and he told us very foolish things to do."
"What did he ask for?"
We can't even say what it is. We can't even repeat those words."
"Tell me anyhow."
He told us to make a bris. "Didn't we tell you not to make this Jew the ruler over us?"
"Fools," answered Pare. "He's the one who told us that 7 years of good food will come, and then 7 years of hunger. Why didn't you put away food for 2 or 3 years?"
"We did, but whatever we put away got rotten.
Don't you have any flour left?
As soon as the hunger began, even the bread, which was on the tables, became moldy.
You see what fools you are? If Yosef has the power to decree that all the food should go rotten, maybe he has the power to decree that we all should be killed. So go and do whatever he says. Listen to him, even if he tells you to cut your own flesh.
The Mitzrayim had no choice but to make a bris for themselves. Kindelach, why did Yosef want them to make a bris? They weren't Jews. Well, our Chachamim tell us that one of the reasons for this was because Yosef knew with Ruach HaKodesh that there is going to come a time when the Yidden will be in Mitzrayim and the Goyim are going to make them work very hard. And yet, the Yidden are going to keep the mitzvahs. When we'll come to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, there might be some Yidden who might be ashamed of it or afraid of doing it, thinking, no one else in the land does it. It was for this reason that Yosef made that all the Mitzrayim should have a bris, that the Yidden later should not be ashamed of it and be ready to do it, just as Hashem wants. Now I want you to know, Kindelach, that the hunger did not only come to Mitzrayim, but also to the countries around Mitzrayim. For example, Phoenicia, Arabia, and Eretz Knaan. The countries of the rest of the world also had less food than usual. And while the hunger was so strong in the land of Mitzrayim, everyone in the land, even the ones who were from very rich families, were suffering from the hunger. The Mitzrayim started to starve to so much, they had so much pain from it, that they said they would rather die than live with this pain of hunger. They hurried to Yosef to get food, and Yosef opened up his storehouses and sold them the food. Yosef made certain rules and laws as how anyone can buy any food from this storehouses in Mitzrayim. First of all, Yosef made a rule that food will be sold not only to the Mitzrayim, but to anyone who comes from any other country. Yes, Yosef knew that sooner or later his brothers will come from Eretz Knaan to buy some food, and Yosef hoped to meet them. Since Yosef was afraid that his father might send his slaves instead of his brothers to buy food, Yosef made a second rule, that no food may be sold to any slaves. Food will be sold only to the master of the house or to someone of that family. Now, since Yosef wanted to meet all of his brothers, he made a rule that no person should be able to buy more than one donkey load of food. Like this, all of his brothers will have to come for food for each of their families. Now, Yosef's family in Eretz Canaan could maybe buy food from someone else and not come to Mitzrayim. It was for this reason that Yosef made another rule, that no one is allowed to buy food which is not for their own family. No one's allowed to sell food to somebody else. You're only allowed to buy food which your own family is going to use. If anyone will be caught selling food to someone else, they will be put to death. And by this, Yosef hoped that his brothers will have to come all by themselves to buy food, and like this, he'll meet them. Now, Yosef made another rule that all names of people who came to buy food have to have their names written down and recorded on a list. This will help Yosef to be able to look over the lists and find out when his brothers came to Mitzrayim. And so on each entrance to Mitzrayim, Yosef had a guard who stood there and took the name of each newcomer as well as his father's name. Every night, Menashe brought Yosef the list of names of the newcomers who came from outside of Mitzrayim on that day to buy food. And so, Kindalach, people from the whole wide world traveled to Mitzrayim to buy food. They have brought with them gold, silver, and gifts. This was all gathered in Mitzrayim's treasure houses. Yes, Yosef collected them all and helped Mitzrayim become rich. Yes, Kindalach, as we remember in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem had promised Avraham, Ve'achreichein yetzu b'rechush gadol. And afterwards, after the Yidden will be in Golos of Mitzrayim, they shall go out with great wealth. It was for this reason that Hashem caused that Mitzrayim should now become so rich by getting so much gold and silver and fortune from the entire world, in order to fulfill that promise. It was in the second year of the hunger, Yaakov said to his sons, My sons, we do not have too much food left. Why should we make our neighbors jealous of us? The families of Yishmael and the families of Esav will be jealous of us, because we are making believe that we have plenty to eat. I have heard that in Mitzrayim there is shever, that is, food. Travel there and buy some food. Now, Kindalach, why did Yaakov use the word shever for food? This is an unusual word used for food. Well, our Chachamim tell us that the word shever also means hope, meaning that Yaakov is saying, I see hope in Mitzrayim. This was because Yaakov had a Ruach HaKodesh, that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. It's just that it was not too clear to him, and he was not able to understand fully what this really meant, whether Yosef is still alive, and where is he in Mitzrayim. Yes, Kindalach, it was since the day Yosef was sold. Not one day had gone by when the brothers had not said, Let us look and search for Yosef and return him to our father. Now that Yaakov said to them that they should go to Mitzrayim to buy some food, they were very excited to travel to Mitzrayim. Their main reason was not just to buy food, but in order to look for Yosef.